Welcome into the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Got a great show today, folks. We are going to delve into some classic cases today. I know some cases that you guys are familiar with, but we're going to look at it from a different side. Someone who's been right in the thick of it. Some of the most famous cases that you've heard of, maybe even gone to the movie theater and seen, but I'll tell you this much, what you see on the screen is not exactly the way it happened. So we're going to delve into one of the most famous cases. In fact, one of the most famous cases that hit your screen this past summer. But I guarantee you it is not the way you saw it on that silver screen this past summer. Maxim Furyk is my guest, and he has a brand new book out there, and it's a good one at that. I got the privilege of reading it here this past week. It's called The Smurl Haunting. And in fact, the full title of it is The Smurl Haunting When Ed and Lorraine Came to Town. That's the full name of the book. And Maxim has put out a good book indeed. It deals with not only just the what's called the Pennsylvania's Amityville Horror, which is the Smurl family's haunting there, but he's also got a few other things in there as well that we'll talk about today. He deals with the Hinsdale House, the Damned Wells House, some other hauntings in there as well that we'll talk about today. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest here today he is quite the esteemed guest and an avid student of the paranormal as well. His eclectic background includes aspects of psychology, recovery from addictions, and rock journalism. I wish we had a lot of time today because we'd get into that as well. That's a passion of mine as well. He has a master's degree in communications from Bloomsburg University and a bachelor's degree in psychology from Aquinas College. He's been called the John Keel of the 21st century, due in part to his diverse background and varied interests. The author has been featured on countless American, Canadian, and European podcasts, including George Norrie's Coast to Coast AM. I'm familiar with that as well. I worked on that program at one time as well. Exploring the Bizarre with the legendary Timothy Green Beckley, Mr. UFO, and Tim R. Schwartz, Commander X, and of course, Midnight in the Desert with Heather Wade. He's a contributor to Fate Magazine, Paranormal Underground, and Strange Knocks, and a frequent guest speaker at paranormal conferences. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome back to Darkness Radio, Maxim Furyk. How are you, sir?
Real good, Tim. Thanks so much for the invite. And trying to figure out the last time I was on your program, but I have to assume that it was somewhere after 2016. That's when the Shepton Mythology was published. So maybe 2017, 2018,
I think
somewhere
so.
In there. But yeah, thank you so much. And this is great to see you again.
Yes, great to have you back. And I think it was Shepton. If I remember right, it was Shepton. Yeah.
Okay. Let's
talk a little bit about your dealings, first of all, with Ed and Lorraine Warren. I know it as a journalist, you were intrigued with, first of all, the dealings of Ed and Lorraine Warren, if I remember right from reading the book. Tell me a little bit about what it was about Ed and Lorraine that fascinated you.
Well, the thing of it is, Smurl Haunting was in northeastern Pennsylvania, which was my backyard. So I went up there and I was investigating what was happening. In 1988, a book was published called The Haunted. It was written by Robert Curran, co-written by Ed and Lorraine Warren and Jack and Janet Smurl. And it told the story of the West Pittston Haunted. And this is what we're talking about today. So in 1988, Ed and Lorraine embarked on a 15-city tour. It was a book tour to promote The Haunted. So they were in this very lovely touristy place in Pennsylvania called, in the mountains of Pennsylvania called Jim Thorpe. Mm-hmm. So I got permission from the owner of the theater to meet them, take pictures, and to interview them. And I remember that it was in July of 1988, hot summer day there, and I remember being out on the sidewalk with Ed and Lorraine talking about demonology and the power of the devil and just all of this stuff in the realm of demonology that, you know, my only wish is that I could go back in time and ask them the same questions, only going deeper, probing deeper, asking for more. But, you know, I guess in life, sometimes you only get one chance, and that was it. But I did remember remained friends with Ed and Lorraine, and I would call them up on occasion and ask Ed questions on how he did battle with these demonic forces and ask him specific questions. But Lorraine was an animal lover, and she had a pet rooster named Einstein. So when I would call, I would hear Einstein in the background. But, you know, they were good people, and I was a friend of theirs, and I support them, even though I realize there's a lot of people that do not like Ed and Lorraine Warren. So let's be clear. You know, not everybody believes that they were truthful and honest and honorable and ethical and all the other things. But that's fine. You know, the one thing you cannot deny is that they were successful in what they did, and they were demonologists.
Well, Maxim, I want to dig into that for a moment because, you know, we've had Lorraine on this show. We had Lorraine on the show a couple of times. And actually, I believe the first time we had Lorraine on the show, Ed was gravely ill. In 2006, that was the first year that we were in I want to say publication, that's not right, but the first year that we were around, and I remember it was, you know, it was a tentative time. I want to put it that way. It wasn't a sad time because we were hoping Ed would pull through. I remember that much, but having Lorraine on the program, we had a great amount of respect for her. We gave her the gravitas that she deserved.
Sure. Yeah.
And the amount of respect that she deserved as a seasoned investigator, as someone who had gone into these legendary cases and done the work that she had done, and even respect for the powers that she had had, and I think given her that respect that maybe a lot of people hadn't. And to me, it's a bit of an affront to say, well, I don't believe in anything they did. I mean, to me, it really is a slap in the face. Why do you suppose that people want to say, well, I'm setting up a little bit here, Maxim, when I say this, but why do you suppose it is that people say, I think the two of them are charlatans or frauds or... Why are they so quick to want to turn on these two?
Well, I think, you know, I operate by this, what I call this universal rule of 90. 30% of the people are going to love your light. They're going to want to get behind you and support you and open up doors. 30% are not going to like you. Call it professional jealousy, animosity, whatever ism it is, you know, you're going to get that. And then there's 30% that are just on the fence. They're on the bias. They're busy doing their own thing to decide whether or not they like Ed and Lorraine or they like Tim Dennis or Maxim Furyk. So that's just the way it is, 30, 30, and 30. But with Ed and Lorraine Warren, I think they got a little bit more of that 30%. There were more people that disliked them. And part of it was because of their success. And they did benefit from financial success. They were getting $500 per seminar, doing close to 1,000 seminars, typically on college campuses. Say what they would talk about the realm of demonology, the demonic, you know, evil. And then they were giving powerful messages. Just be careful, you know, beware of what's out there. That's what they were saying. They're just cautioning people not to dabble in certain things like Ouija boards and seances and tarot cards and all that. I mean, for the people that are understand that and are wise to those ways and matured in those ways, then that may be fine. But for most of us, we are naive and uninitiated. And, you know, and those things like Ouija boards could be a pathway to something that we can't control. So that's what they were trying to say. They were the foremost ambassadors and pioneers of the demonic realm. They did for the demonology what Sybil Leek did for the craft, for witchcraft. Both Sybil Leek and the Warrens were ambassadors and pioneers. So they were able to go and take these themes and articulate them and tell us what they were. I think that there were people, possibly Roman Catholics, you know, fellow Christians, that were upset because they were being accused of hiding behind, you know, Catholicism and the rite of exorcism and all of these trappings of the church. So I think some people felt that maybe they were disingenuous when they did that. And then you know, the fact that they were successful. I mean, I think that it just goes with the territory that there's always people that are going to take their shots to try to bring you down and, you know, and maybe even to take some glee with that. What's that German term? Schadenfreude? Pardon?
Schadenfreude?
Yeah, where, you know, a person takes joy in somebody else's distress and turmoil and pain. So, you know, that was part of it, too. But, you know, nonetheless, Ed and Lorraine are legendary. You know, we've never had anybody of their stature, of their caliber. And, you know, and so that's, you know, they were at the top. So when you're at the top, it's just almost human nature for these people to take shots at you and try to bring you down. It's just the way it works. And so be kind to those people you meet on the way up, because you're going to meet them on the way down. So, you know, that's the old saying. But again, I'm, you know, proud to say that I was friends with them. I support them. You know, I respect them. And, you know, I think that because they're gone, they need to have somebody to defend their honor. And I'm, you know, honored to do that. So, you know, that's that. But why people dislike them, you know, there's numerous reasons why. But, you know, again, it goes with the territory. And, you know, and they found that out. They knew that. They knew that they had a lot of people that were coming after them. One other demographic that was that do not like Ed and Lorraine are the pagans and the Wiccans that have their own belief system. These were the religions that came before Christianity, and at least in paganism, they believe that demonic forces, evil forces, dark forces, you know, are next to us, are inside us, etc., and that we need to coexist with those forces. That's their take. They're looking at the shades of gray. With Christianity and with the way that Ed and Lorraine viewed demonology, and again, this is not at all a criticism of Christianity or Catholicism, and please don't read that into that.
Sure.
But Ed and Lorraine and Christian exorcists looked at the realm of evil, looked at the realm in terms of stark terms of good and evil. There was no in between. And I think we all know that there is an in-between. There are shades of gray. Nothing is absolute. And, you know, but again, Ed and Lorraine taught us that. Mm-hmm. Maybe not from their words, but from the words of others and their critics. And, you know, when I do these my programs, I mean, numerous times I get people that are practicing pagans and they'll call out the Warrens for that one thing. And that's one of the basic philosophical differences between, say, pagans and Christians.
I think, too, and again, I want to expound a little bit on that, too. I think a lot of their teachings have been passed down to their nephew, John Zaffis. And I think if they were to sit down with John, they would realize that the Warrens had a much more broader scope in their teachings than just saying the black and white of Christianity is good and evil. I think, John also has dealt with many different exorcists of many different faiths. And they would realize that the Warrens did as well. I mean, they didn't just deal with, the Catholic Church. They also would reach out to exorcists of many other different faiths. So I kind of shirk as well when I hear that from pagans that say, well, we don't know that we agree with the Warrens. Well, if you don't agree with the Warrens, then you really aren't doing much research on what the Warrens were all about. Their whole thing was to stem the tide of evil. How you get it done, although they are Catholics, yes, they are Catholics and do believe in Christ, I think any port in a storm, is that how you would put it? I think at times is kind of the way you have to attack it, even if, mm-hmm. if your primary way of doing it is through Christ, true. But there are times where you have to look at the situation and go, well, maybe that isn't the way we do it this time. And that's, if there's any one thing I've learned, at least through John and having I have a close relationship with John. That's the one thing that I've learned through John that he learned through Ed and Lorraine. So, I mean, you know, that I think that's a pretty good lesson, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I talk about this wide scope that we all have our finite body of knowledge. But when we talk to certain people, albeit Ed and Lorraine or whoever, sometimes they expand that vision to something more than what it was. And when you meet those people and when they expand our horizons and make us think and make us reevaluate our beliefs, I mean, that's something that's good for the order, for everybody. So I think they had the ability to do that. But I think that they were passionate. The one thing that they said over and over again was that the power of the devil is great, but the power of God is greater.
Yes.
And that was one thing that they talked about. And also, you know, when I went to see Dan Rivera and the folks with the Annabelle doll, it was the same thing. I mean, they really did repeat the same mantra, the same, you know, the same dogma. And I think that's important to know.
We'll talk about Dan. We'll talk about the Annabelle doll here, I think, in the second part of the program, because there's some interesting stuff there, too. And of course, I don't think a lot of people know this, that you're the last person to talk to or see Dan alive. Is this correct?
Well, yeah, I met him on July the 11th, and he died 2 days later. We had agreed to do an in-depth interview for the Schmerl Haunting for the book. And I had met him in Gettysburg. We were going to do the interview on the 14th when he went back to Connecticut. I think he was from Monroe, I'm not sure, but when he went back to Connecticut. And I got a phone call, and they said, "Did you hear about the Gettysburg researcher? He died." And I didn't connect with Dan. I didn't think it was Dan. I thought it was somebody else. And here was Dan Rivera, age 54, died in his hotel room in Gettysburg and all that. I mean, it was a total shock, total shock. And there was no joy, no celebration, no sniffing money or anything else. Even though, you know, the crit in my little world, you know, I mean, the critics came out after me, and which was pretty disgusting. But and, you know, we could talk about that later. But you know, but I was involved in this story. I mean, was involved in it, became involved in it, and and I wonder why. And you know, I had this conversation with so many people, but I mean, I was close to the Schmerl haunting in so many different ways.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll tackle that here in a bit. I want to get back a little bit here to the skepticism when it came to Ed and Lorraine, and I want to tackle Amityville for a second, and the fact that there is that little bit of doubt because of one incident with Amityville. And I think you know where I'm going here, Maxim, with the actual rumor that I don't want to say it's a little bit more than a rumor that it was quote unquote made up. I want you to address this for a second because Ed and Lorraine, I don't want to say they swore by the fact that there was something there at Amityville, but there's been some controversy as to whether or not there was something there. I know through talking to different people, you know, who have dealt with, let's just say I've talked to a whole lot of people who have been in and out of that house. Some people say it was the people who were haunted. Some people say it was the house that's haunted. I want to know from you what your thoughts are.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Amityville is a very complex topic. I mean, like it has a whole lot of different facets. But the story was that 23-year-old Ronnie DeFeo, Butch DeFeo, took a rifle and he came and he killed his mother, his father, his two sisters, and his two brothers. Ronnie was a rich kid. He was doing methamphetamine. He was doing heroin. He was prescribed Thorazine. So he was a rich kid. He was a messed up kid. He walked around with thousands of dollars in his pockets. The thing about Amityville is it's a modern day story of Cain and Abel, and we cannot let it go. We cannot wrap our arms around it because it's just such a horrendous story of matricide and patricide and all that. So that was Ronnie DeFeo, and I talk about it in my book because Butch DeFeo claimed that he was possessed by an evil spirit, and the prosecution. There was a wonderful book called High Hopes. was the name of the place in Amityville. It's called High Hopes. But the prosecution, the name of his book was High Hopes. He had to prove to the jury that Ronnie DeFeo was actually a personality disorder, that he had no empathy and he had no compassion for his fellow humans. And the prosecution had to prove that. Not that he was possessed. So this was the trial. And I mean, can you imagine what would have happened if the jury would have said, no, he's possessed by a demonic spirit? Well, luckily, fortunately, that didn't happen. But the story went on. George and Kathy Lutz bought purchased the house for $80,000, which was a bargain, you know, that High Hopes was in a very nice place in Long Island. And they were only there, though, for 28 days because they claimed that all kinds of haunted house / poltergeist activities, you know, just frightened them. There were flies at the window. There was a little talking pig, I believe it was, that their daughter saw. Rooms would get very cold. The pounding, the smells. I mean, every single thing that you've heard about other haunted houses was happening there in Amityville. They left, but the one thing we remember, Butch DeFeo and his carnage, we remember the fact that George and Kathy Lutz were there for 28 days and left. And then the other thing that we remember is that George Lutz's attorney said that over two bottles of wine, he concocted the story that Amityville was haunted and he made all kinds of money with this. I don't buy that. And I'm going to tell you why. I mean, first, that's the one thing that everybody remembers because it's just so juicy and controversial. You know, it goes against the whole thing.
Right.
I think, Tim, you and I could write a book about Amityville, you know, tell a story about how we time traveled back in time and we did the dirty deed or whatever, and we could make a whole lot of money. And that's because the Amityville thing is a cottage industry. It's a cash cow. People can't get enough of Amityville. And if you don't believe me, Google the amount of books written about Amityville. Take a look at all of the motion pictures and made for TV movies that were written about Amityville. We can't get enough of it for all of the reasons. It checks all of the boxes, you know, demonic possession, you know, carnage, evil kid, whatever. I mean, it's all of that. So, you know, the fact that this attorney wrote a book and then claimed that he made this up, I mean, that has sway. I mean, that's like, I mean, like a publicist would have written that. So that's why people are talking about that, because that's all part of the whole zeitgeist, you know? And so anyway, I don't believe it, but I could believe that that book was commercially successful. So.
I've heard the rumor two ways too. I heard the rumor one way that Ed and Lorraine were in the room with the bottle of wine when they wrote the book. And I've also heard that Ed told them to go to hell. He was going to walk out. They could do whatever they wanted. And then they wrote the book. So yeah. I've heard
that's the paranormal. We don't need to know that, you know, we could just guess and assume and, you know, conjure up our own ideas. But nonetheless, in my book, The Schmurl Haunting, I talked about Amityville and the Hinsdale House and the Dam Wells House, and I compared the Schmurl House against those other haunted houses because that's the way to learn, and that's the way to learn, you know, to really, have a body of knowledge by comparing and contrasting. And so the Schmurl Haunting, you know, my book is not just about that. Yes. It's about the whole realm of demonology and other haunted houses like Amityville that I compare the Schmurl House to.
Yes, indeed. And in fact, I'll tell you what, we'll take a break here. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about we'll compare and contrast a little bit between those houses.
Okay. Yeah, I'd love to do that.
And then I want to talk a little bit because you also get into exorcists and exorcisms. I want to talk a little bit about Father McKenna, who also has a bit to do with Ed Lorraine Warren. And then I want to talk a bit about some of the other exorcists that are in your book talk a bit about. I have an interesting question for you, and I want to throw this past you, Max. And I've heard the theory about why and how, but I want to throw this theory by you, and I want you to think about it during the break. Why is it that men that have dedicated their lives to ridding the earth of evil spirits seem to either come to tragic or short endings. I'll throw that at you, and I'll have you think about that when we while we go to break here. My guest is Maxim Furyk, the name of the book, and it's a good one, folks. The Schmirl Haunting, When Ed and Lorraine Came to Town, and it's available right now. We have a link in the description of this program. Want you to go get it during the break. When we come back, we'll talk about we'll compare and contrast between the Schmirl Haunting and the Schmirl House. And some of the other houses out there, Hinsdale and some of the other ones that we were talking about here. And we'll compare and contrast with that. We'll talk about some of the exorcists that are involved here, Father McKenna, Father Amorth, and others. And then we'll ask that question of Maxim about those exorcists and why some of them have some untimely end. We'll do that when we come back right here on the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook, you know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. My guest is Maxim Furyk. The name of the book is The Smurl Haunting, When Ed and Lorraine Came to Town. We have a link in the description of this program. You can go ahead and go get it right now, and I encourage you to do so. Really, really, really good book. I had a particularly good time reading this book and reliving some of these cases. And I love the comparing and contrasting you do here, Maxim, as you take some of these more famous hauntings and you give us a piece of that history, and then you take and you stack them up one against the other and kind of show us that although there's some similarities here, there's also some differences here as well. Let's get into some of those hauntings real quick. It's interesting you bring up not only Amityville, but then you stack it up against the Smurl haunting, and then you bring us right back to something like Hinsdale. Tell us a little bit about Hinsdale real quick and how that stacks up against the Smurl haunting in Amityville.
Yeah, for sure. And also keep in mind, Tim, that all of these haunted houses, Amityville, Hinsdale, the damned Wells house, and the Smurl haunting, were all investigated by Ed and Lorraine. So that's the common thread with all of them. A lot of people have asked about the sequence of the book. The Smurl haunting, the chapter about the Smurl haunting, doesn't happen until sort of like in the middle of the book. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit of a setup. So I take a look at some of the other hauntings before I do that. You're right. All of these haunted houses have commonality. You know, the slamming doors and the cold rooms and the smells and all this. Just a lot of crazy, weird stuff that, you know, provokes and makes people anxious and frightened. The thing about the Smurl haunting that made that difference was the level of violence and intensity at the Smurl haunting. Jack Smurl claimed that he was raped by a female demon, a succubus. Janet Smurl claimed that she was sexually assaulted by a demon. That didn't happen at these other places. It didn't happen at Hinsdale or any of the other ones, but I believe the reason for that is because Jack and Janet Smurl were devout Christians. They were Catholics. And I believe because of that, they had a mark on their back. And the devil, the demon, was coming after them. Now, I've had podcasters ask me, well, why Jack and Janet Smurl, of all the people in West Pittston, Pennsylvania, why them? Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how the devil works. I don't know how he or she thinks. But this is my own conclusion that I've come to, that it was because of their faith that put a target on their back. Again, you asked earlier, you know, why do some of these holy men suffer for their belief? Well, maybe there's an example that, you know, you pay the price for your beliefs, especially if you go against the grain. And and I don't think that they went against the grain, but I just think that they stood out. The Hinsdale house, that was in Western New York. It was just south of Buffalo, New York. And this was the place where the Dandy family, a lot of things were happening, just crazy things like knives were being thrown at them and just, you know, all of the other haunted things that they would have. While the Dandy family was going through this, much like the Smurl family, the locals did not support them and give them the love and altruism that they really should have as good neighbors. For the Dandy family, a lot of the neighbors thought that they were involved in witchcraft And so they were pointing fingers with Jack and Janet Schmirl. You know, one reason why I refused to go and interview them and knock at their door when I would go up there and investigate was because they were under attack. They were under demonic attack. They were under attack from the neighbors and the public that didn't believe them. They thought they were doing this, of course, for money. That's the only argument that people could come up with. They're doing it for money. I mean, God forbid, if you are successful and make money and get fame and fortune. For some reason, that is dishonorable or dishonest. But I mean, that's the first thing that the first common denominator that common people go to. So that was that. And the third thing was the paparazzi. Janet Schmirl talked about the hundreds of phone calls she got from paparazzi, from reporters all over the world requesting an interview. Again, over and over and over. So they were under attack. And I mean, thank God that they had their strong belief in God and they had the support of their church. That's what got them through. So the person that saved, that cleansed the Schmirl house was Father Treble. He was from New York State. And he went to the Hinsdale house. And he tried to do a cleansing there. He could not. He told the people there, just take your belongings and leave. Don't say where you're going. Don't articulate that and just leave. And Father Treble said that some places are just a gateway to hell. And the Hinsdale house was one of them. So he was not able to do anything with that. And yet today you could go there and for a fee, you could go and spend the night or do some ghost hunting. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like almost like a bed and breakfast. So, you know, I mean, if you want to do that, be my guest, but I don't know. I think that there's something there that's, you know, something troubling, and I would be careful there.
Well, let me ask you this, Maxim, because it's Daniel Clays that runs Hinsdale, right? I believe. Yeah. Okay, so people go in, and I know of a few friends of mine that have gone up there and they've investigated Hinsdale, and although they've had some pretty creepy experiences up there, and you know, a few of them have gotten some really quite amazing evidence. No one's been thrown around or anything like that. I mean, this is going to seem like a weird question, I know, but does evil give Daniel a pass because he's cooperating with it and making it a tourist industry? Or is it, you know, because he's not trying to get rid of it? He's making it something acceptable?
Well, I don't know if he's getting a pass. I mean, maybe for the time being, he's getting a pass. But, you know, with demonic energies, you know, there's temptation, there's infestation, there's obsession, there's possession. And we know that demonic energies could infest people, places, or things. I think the Hinsdale house was infested. I think that the Schmirl house was. I think Annabelle the doll was, you know. And I think some people have been. There's some controversy on whether or not Christians could actually become possessed. And there's a debate going on that. And I believe that they can. But I think if you're strong in the Lord and you have your heart is filled with his grace and all that, you may have enough to fight this off. And so, you know, but in the Schmirl case, there was a demonic infestation. There was all these things happening that at the end, Lorraine Warren believed that there was one demon that was manipulating three other spirits. And these spirits were just raising havoc for the Schmirls. So that's the way Lorraine saw it. But with Hinsdale House, Father Treble couldn't do anything. And with the Schmirl House, Father McKenna couldn't do anything. So it's interesting how some exorcists were able to be, successful and others were not. And why, I'm not sure. But again, there seems to be a certain pattern of how these demonic energies flow. Mm-hmm. For example, you know, with the temptation, infestation, obsession and possession, that would be one thing. Another thing, how do people actually become possessed? And it could be somebody could put a curse on them. It could be because, like in the case of the Schmurls, that they were Catholics and they had a target on their back, and they were an easy target. It could be because somebody in the house was playing with Ouija boards or some object that opened up the gateway. And I know people that claim to use the Ouija board to contact spirits to guide them and to give them information. And they claim that they know how to do this. Now, the rest of us, typically, we get a Ouija board and we just start playing around and see who's going to pop up. Yeah. You know, maybe some spirit will talk to us. Well, you know, on a good day, maybe a demon will pop up and go and try to go and do something nasty. So, again, I mean, I do believe in the existence of evil. I believe in the existence of the devil. And I believe that if you mess around in some of those dark spaces, you might find something that you won't be able to control. And I've heard and seen too many examples of that, I believe that it's true. And all I do is I tell people to just be cautious of what you're doing. So
now there's a chapter there too. And to take it one step further, you point out the case of Annalisa Michelle, where in that case, you've got an exorcist who might have taken it a step too far, where he's not looking at the case of what could have been potentially mental illness, but he's gone one step too far and has continued to perform an exorcism over and over and over again, to the point where there's physical restraint, where there's, I don't want to say there was starvation, but there were other things that were used to try and drive a spirit out, where it may or may not have been the case. But a young girl dies as a result.
Yeah.
And we don't know if it was a result of an infestation or mental illness. And a young girl does die.
Yeah. Well, I have a chapter called The 2%. And I talk about Father Amorth. He was the Vatican's chief exorcist. Mm-hmm. There was a wonderful motion picture with... yes, and I'm blocking. It was called the Vatican's Exorcist, Russell Crowe. Thank
yes.
you.
Yep.
And, yeah.
You're welcome. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was psychic projection. But anyway, it was the story of Father Amorth, who did more exorcisms. I mean, thousands of them. So he was well noted, well written. But he claimed that only 2% of the people that the church deals with are actually possessed by demonic forces. The other 98% are mental illnesses, schizophrenia, it's Tourette's syndrome, it's bipolar, whatever. Now, if somebody is possessed, we typically, again, because of all of the documentation we've gotten from exorcists, we know that these people have superhuman strength. It takes, you know, six people to hold them down. Mm-hmm. They speak in foreign languages, like ancient languages that nobody even knows about, you know, but I mean, they can do this perfectly. It's not haphazard. It's not luck. They speak fluently. They tend to know deep personal secrets of the people. They're the exorcist and the people in the room, such as in The Exorcist, mm-hmm. with the priest having conflict with his mother. You know, that was showed that pretty good. There's cases of levitation. So there's all of these things that we see, you know, with the people that are possessed. Father Amor said that we have to determine whether or not it's actual possession or mental illness. And in the case of Annalise, a German student, I think she was 27, I believe, I forgot. But she died from having this severe multi-exorcisms. I think starvation might have been part of it too. I think I read that. But the German courts put her parents and two priests on trial, and they were found guilty of homicide, whether it was first, second, or third degree, but this is due to the exorcism. Because of that, because of her death, they no longer will do formal acknowledged exorcisms in Germany. Now, yeah. Whether or not they still go on, you know, under the radar, you know, off the grid, you know, that may be, but I don't know. But officially, they're not allowed to do that in Germany. And that's the case. You know, we really need to be aware of what we're doing. And keep in mind, you know, so, you know, it's a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing to go and determine. But the when someone is possessed, I mean, it has to be a most frightening thing. And from all of my research, just like with haunted houses, with infestations, the stories are pretty much the same. There's all this commonality. So we know what we're talking about. We have a really good concept of that. And, you know, when Rosemary's Baby and The Exorcist and The Omen and all these other motion pictures about demonology started to come out, I mean, they taught us, as did Ed and Lorraine Warren, you know, about this thing. And the other thing, too, the American public and the public worldwide has a hunger and an appetite for this. I mean, why would it be that Rosemary's Baby and The Exorcist and The Omen were just such, you know, big, you know, successes at the box office? I mean, people just love this stuff. You know, and look at The Conjuring, if we may. $2.7 billion net. Tim, that's with that's net. That's not gross. So right. That's a lot of money.
That is.
9 pictures. You know, a bunch were The Nun, a bunch were Annabelle, and the rest were The Conjuring. And again, these were motion pictures about the career of Ed and Lorraine Warren. You know, whether it was a fictitious rendering or not, Ed and Lorraine Warren are up there. They're legendary, they're famous, they're infamous. I mean, everything, you know, they're everything that we're talking about tonight. I mean, and well-deserved, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Although, as you point out in the book with this last movie, it seems like we're at the end of that story, aren't we?
Well, yes and no. You know, I don't know if we're going to get set up, but in the motion, the only thing that The Conjuring Last Rites got accurate, and I know because I was there, was the frenzy, the paparazzi, the kids hot-rodding, the kids throwing the beer bottle at the duplex, all this stuff. I mean, there was a lot of frenzy going on. It was like a mob scene. So that was pretty wild, mm-hmm. And I saw that. The rest of the motion picture, though, is totally wrong. Judy Warren, Ed and Lorraine's daughter, never stepped foot in the Schmurl house. Yeah. Neither did Tony Spira, her husband. And, you know, in the motion picture, Judy is being stalked by the demon. And there's a thing about the mirror. And Judy sees the dog Simon levitating. And in the real story with the Schmurl house, their German shepherd, Simon, Dawn saw this. Dawn was about 19. It was levitated and flung across the room. And there's several really interesting theories about this, like either A, Dawn was manifesting some psi power, some psychokinetic energies that she lifted up Simon and threw him across the room, or it was some kind of mass hallucinations, or it was demonic forces that were there. I mean, we don't know, but the psi powers, you know, that's something that Stephen King wrote about, you know, obsessively, mm-hmm. whether it was The Stand or Firestarter or Carrie. I mean, young adolescents, typically female, that had these energies, this angst, this anger, and they didn't know what to do with it. So, you know, the fact that maybe, again, just a theory, that Dawn Schmurl lifted up Simon and threw him across the wall, you know, is one possibility, but it's a theory. We don't know. We don't know, but it's a pretty interesting aspect of what happened. Another thing, they did show Ed being levitated and being assaulted by the demon, and that was sort of surreal. You know, you didn't know exactly what that was unless you were maybe familiar with the book. But that's what they did. But it, you know, it was a fun movie. I liked the movie. The ending had Ed and Lorraine dancing to this old timey music, you know, through the window, much like Captain America went back in time to his wife and he's dancing the same thing. It was the same thing. And when I saw that, I thought, wow, come on, I've seen this before, you know. So still, I like the movie. I like all the Conjuring movies. I liked Conjuring Last Rites only because I like the Conjuring movies and I like Ed and Lorraine. So, you know, I saw it. I know it was not as good as, it wasn't as scary as some of the other ones, but that's okay. I mean, yeah. You know, I saw it and I'll go and probably see it again.
You know, what's interesting though, Maxim, when when it came out, you know, if you start to monitor the paranormal community, and they all said the same thing, you know, John Safis, Karen Smirl, they said, nice movie, not accurate, you know.
Not accurate at all.
And it, entertaining, but they really got it wrong. And it seemed to stick in some craws of the people who were there. And I wonder, and this is just me wondering out loud. This is not me projecting anything for them or of them, but I wonder to myself if Hollywood, as they spin these tales, because, you know, they do this because they need to make a buck and there needs to be some entertainment value. I get it. The stories are entertaining as they are. We don't need to inject any more entertainment into it. Right.
I tell people that if they want to be entertained, go see the Last Rites. But if you want the true story, I mean, really, the Schmerl Haunting tells that story and it goes deep. And I'm proud of the book. I did a lot of research with it, and I'm proud of the way it was written. And the feedback I've gotten has been really, really good. I mean, people tell me that, you know, they thought they knew a lot about demonology, and they said that my book gave them some additional things. So if as an author I can contribute to the whole genre, then great. That's what I want to do. I want to be known for that, you know? So, you know, it's a book that I really, you know, I like the book and I stand by it.
My question, I guess, to you is, are you afraid that the noise of Hollywood is going to outshout people who are there, like yourself, like John, like Karen, like people who are still around from those times that are trying to get this message out?
Well, two things. One, maybe they're setting up Judy Warren to be the protagonist. Maybe there'll be another movie and she'll be the star of it, because she's already entered the Conjuring multiverse at this point. So maybe that's it. But the other thing is, just in retrospect, if they would have had a story, if Conjuring Last Rites would have been about the Catholic Church debating whether or not this was true demonic possession and whether or not they needed to go and send in the troops, i.e. the exorcist, that would have been a better story, and that would have been a more realistic story. And believe me, that would have resonated, you know, far and wide.
Yeah.
You know, this thing is just tokenistic. And I mean, you know, just whatever. I mean, you know, again, I liked it, but, you know, on the scale of 1 to 10, you know, I'd give it maybe like a 4.
Yeah.
So it really wasn't that well done. Again, entertaining, fun, all the stuff that I like, but, you know, it wasn't that good, you know, compared to the other, like the nuns are, you know, scary things. I mean, like really well done, but, we'll see. But I think that they're setting us up, and I think there's going to be a prequel with Ed and Lorraine, the early days and how they found their gifts. And then I think they're going to continue with the motion pictures. I think, this is my guess, with Judy Warren and Tony being the protagonist. So, you know, so look out. Maybe you and I could get a cameo on that. I don't know.
Hey,
what do you think, Tim?
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. If people who are watching the video will see that you have the nun in the background there. It's the one thing that did come out of these movies is you did get the elevation of the nun character in Annabelle. And I want to make that transition here and talk a little bit about the Annabelle character. You did have, you know, keep in mind, Annabelle, the real life Annabelle, is a Raggedy Ann doll. But they did make and elevate her to make her a little bit scarier and a little bit more frightening to make her into something more than what she was for Hollywood, for marketing purposes. With that in mind, let's kind of get into Dan Rivera. I want to start with the concept first of all, the actual taking the objects of the museum on tour, and then I want to work my way to Dan Rivera. There was the whole concept of taking things on tour out of the museum was debated a lot within the community. Whether it should have even been taken out of the museum and taken on tour. People have bantered back and forth. Well, that wasn't really Lorraine's wish.
Right, correct. Yeah, she didn't want that.
Yeah. Is that your understanding, that she didn't want that?
Yeah, correct. So anyway, this is what Annabelle looked like. It's a Raggedy Ann doll.
Yep.
And over the movies, The Conjuring, and my wife thinks this is really creepy. So I got this in my office. There's nothing going on here. But Lorraine wanted it to stay there at the Warren Occult Museum. And when her and Ed died, the New England Society for Psychic Research, it was with Tony Spira and some other individuals, Dan Rivera, they decided to take Annabelle and a bunch of other artifacts on the road. They called it the Devils on the Road Tour, the Devils on the Run Tour. And they went to places like San Antonio. They went to the West Virginia Penitentiary. They went to New Orleans, and they went to Gettysburg. That's where I saw them. Mm-hmm. Before she went to Gettysburg, she was in New Orleans, and three things happened. Now, you know, you could say one of them was a coincidence, but I mean, you got three juicy coincidences, and, you know, I don't know. I don't think there's any such thing as coincidence, but three things. One, the largest plantation, I think sugar cane plantation in Louisiana, burned down when Annabelle was there. There was a jailbreak. 11 guys broke out of the New Orleans jail. It was an inside job, but irregardless, you know, they broke. And then the voodoo queen, Marie Laveau, her house caught on fire. Mm-hmm. So three things happened while Annabelle was there, and there was a whole lot of things that was on the internet. Now, whether or not this was sparked to create controversy or whatever, I don't know, but Annabelle was going to appear in Gettysburg. Now, my wife and I are snowbirds, so we were in Pennsylvania at the time. We anteed up. We both paid, it was more than $40, but we paid $40 each for the privilege of seeing Annabelle. Annabelle was in Gettysburg for 3 days, and the Gettysburg newspaper identified 1,260 people that paid $40 each for the privilege of seeing Annabelle. And that's something like $50,000. Now, yeah, you know, multiply that with West Virginia, New Orleans, and San Antonio, and you got somewhere, give or take, $200,000. You know, I don't know, you know, if your podcast is bringing in that kind of money, but, you know, I'd have to sell a whole lot more books to be in that area.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
highly successful. So anyway, I went there. I let the people know who I was. They invited me. I got headline privilege. They introduced me to Dan. Me and Dan Rivera hung out. And again, we were talking. I was saying I'm writing this book about the Schmirl haunting, and we agreed to do a interview on Monday the 14th. I talked to him on Friday the 11th. He died 2 days later on the 13th. The coroner said that it was natural causes, that Dan Rivera suffered from cardiac issues. People like the psychic Vincent sisters from Butler, Pennsylvania, said no. Annabelle had demonic forces, and most likely Annabelle wore Dan Rivera down, and that ostensibly caused his death. Chris McKenna, that's Ed and Rain's grandson, was saying a similar thing, that there were evil demonic energies there that needed to be respected. But even after the death of Dan Rivera, they're still taking Annabelle around to Bangor, Maine, and every place else. So I do want to say this. I got sort of involved in this. I mean, West Piston was in my backyard, and I went there. I met Ed and Lorraine Warren. I became friends with them, and I met Dan Rivera before he died. But the thing that came after the fact, in the Schmirl haunting, I have a chapter called The Death of Dan Rivera. And before I had that book published, I talked to a number of people. I said, what do you think about that? I mean, am I crossing a line? Is this being disrespectful? What do I do as a journalist? And they said to a person, no, you were there. You were researching this. You have an obligation to write about it.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. Now, after the fact, some of the people from the New England Society for Psychic Research claim that I was celebrating Dan Rivera's death. Couldn't be any further from the truth. No. That I was capitalizing on his death and making money. No. I mean, they were $50,000 and $200,000 versus whatever pittance I get after I pay off my publisher. So don't go that way. And, man, you know, I don't want to go to war with these people. I'm just ignoring them. But, you know, and I've already had people, you know, you talk about why did they go after Ed and Lorraine Warren? You know, why did one of the members of the Schmirl family come after me trying to shake me down to get money? Saying that, why didn't I enter into a contract with the Schmirl family so that they would get part of the proceeds from the book? Well, you know what? I wrote the book. You didn't. I researched it, and they didn't. And everything that I wrote about, all of it was in the public domain. I mean, Ed and Lorraine Warren and Jack and Janet Schmirl's story is on YouTube, and just it's documented. I mean, they've told the story countless times. So what I said was nothing that was personal or intimate or private. You know, they believe that they were infested. They believe that it was demonic, and they brought in, you know, priests to spend the night, to do blessings, to do exorcist, and that was pretty much what it was. You know, it was the Schmirls trying to enjoin the Catholic Church to get involved and to help them. So that's what that was. But, you know, I mean, if, you know, anytime you your profile starts to be raised and you start to accomplish something, you can expect people coming out of the woodwork, because that's just the way it is, unfortunately, but that's just the way it is.
So are you of the opinion then, Maxim, that did Nesper put people in jeopardy with Annabelle as they toured, or do you believe, because you mentioned in the book that there, that Ed himself put safeguards within that glass box.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And let's talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when I saw Annabelle in Gettysburg, she was in this 5-foot box, this wooden box. Mm-hmm. It had a glass window there from a deconsecrated church. It had the Lord's Prayer affixed to the back. It had crosses for the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It was infused with holy water and holy oil. And get this, Father Bob was supposed to be there at all times.
Right.
So when I was there on Friday, July the 11th in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, guess who wasn't there?
Father Bob.
Me?
Father Bob.
Father
was
Bob.
Not
Very
there.
Good. Hey, right. He must be psychic. Yeah, it was
That's
Father Bob.
Right.
So they told me Father Bob was out of country. No, I think he was in South America someplace. I don't know. So I don't know. I don't know where he was. But anyway, he wasn't there. He wasn't at Gettysburg. So again, I had a really good talk with Dan Rivera. We got it off. We hit it off good. He was a family man, Methodist guy who converted to Catholicism. And whenever you meet these people, I mean, this is pretty unique. They're walking on clouds. I mean, they love Catholicism. I think only because, you know, the Catholic, because I don't care what you're, you know, I'm not trying to convert anybody or anything else, but Catholicism is just very rich with that tapestry. I mean, there's just so many things, and whether it's St. Michael the Archangel or Padre Pio or the Blessed Mother, whatever, there's a lot of saints, and it's not just, you know, God the Father and God the Son, but it's a whole lot of other ones, and, you know, and some people like that, and then again, some people don't, but mm-hmm. That's okay. But, you know, Dan Rivera was just so excited that he had converted to Catholicism. And he talked about that. I mean, we were talking Catholicism. We were talking about God's awe, God's power. It was the same thing when I would talk to Ed Warren. We did the God talk. We did Christian stuff. I mean, is, you know, I say nothing wrong with that. I think it's a wonderful thing. You know, so again, the key to fighting evil is, you know, the more you could fill yourself with God's grace and God's strength, you know, that's the way you do it. I have Padre Pio's holy water.
Oh, yeah.
I keep that with me. I have the crucifix. And I mean, I believe in this. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's my belief. But again, I believe in the realm. I believe that evil exists as well. So, you know, this is what I do, I think, to keep me safe. And, you know, and I've heard Catholic ghost hunters talk about that they go armed with the crucifix and holy water and all this other stuff. So they're ready for the unexpected. So that makes sense to me.
The reason I ask the question is this. I don't ever put the place down because, again, Zach Bagans is a friend. But when I stepped into Zach Bagans' museum, you feel He's assembled a impressive, awesome museum of a collection of things that have negative energy to them.
Yeah.
And when you assemble that amount of negative energy, it does cast a vibration, even to those who are not sensitive to it. I'm not particularly sensitive to negative energy, but Maxim, I vibrated.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, and the one thing that's in the museum at the very end, he has the staircase from the Demon House in Indiana in the basement. And when you see it at the end, and I'm not spoiling anything by any means, but your chest vibrates by the time you leave that place. I mean, you feel it. Your whole body vibrates, and it's not a good vibration. It's a dark, heavy vibration. Uh-huh. And it's like, you know, you have to cross yourself when you leave. I mean, you have to.
Well, you picked up on something. You were intuitive and you picked up on that. I don't know if I have that ability. You know, when I went to Gettysburg to look into the eyes of Annabelle, which I did, this is what I saw, mm-hmm. but I didn't feel any kind of awe, mystery, vibration, anything. There was just the doll, but the whole ambience was interesting, you know, the purple lights and everything else. And then just the excitement about meeting Dan Rivera and hanging out with him and talking to him. That was precious. That was good. And so that was that. But you asked about people that maybe are tormented or stalked by evil, you know, people that true believers, priests. I think one of the main examples of that would be Padre Pio, who had stigmata. He bled the wounds of Christ. And what the priest and brothers did was they wrapped him up with gauze, and they waited 6-7 days and then took the gauze off. And they were looking to see signs of healing, of scabbing and all that. They wanted to prove that Padre Pio was just as human as you and I. And they unwrapped that, and there was nothing. I mean, he was still bleeding. Mm-hmm. He was still bleeding. And this is... Oops. Okay, we're good. So here's what fell down. First, Bigfoot.
Ah, right on.
And then Padre Pio. So there we go. This is my...
There you go.
Anyway, so Padre Pio had that, plus he also had the gift of bilocation, that they saw him at one place while he was at another place and being viewed by many, many people at the same time, walking, talking, not a hallucination, two places at the same time. Padre Pio was viewed as a con artist by the Vatican. Here's this priest in Italy. People are coming to see his stigmata, to have him pray over them, to him to hear their confessions, all this stuff. Thousands of people. The Vatican thought that Padre Pio had the ability to convince thousands of people of his delusions. They didn't know what to make of it. So even though he was bleeding, suffering the stigmata of Christ and dealing with the disrespect of and the castigation of the Vatican, there were still people that loved him. But I mean, that was his life. I mean, he had a strong faith. He performed miracles. He did all these things, but still he had to go and continuously prove himself to these people that thought that he was less than honorable, that he was a con artist, he was a charlatan. And so that's just one example. But I think there's people like that, like Job. They suffer. And I don't know if it has a bearing, maybe it does, but in the realm of ufology, if you take a look at the heretics, look at people like Bruno, Galileo, Copernicus, they believe that the earth went around the sun, and that went against the church and state, because we were godlike and made in the image of God, that everything revolved around the earth, of course. And when Copernicus, who was older, said, no, we go around the sun, that became taboo. When Bruno said it. He was burned to the stake for going against the church. He was a heretic. And when Galileo did it, he was given house arrest. So this is what happened during the days before Christ. And even today, those of us who come forward and say, I've seen this or this, whether it's a UFO, an apparition, whatever it is, I mean, we are castigated and put down. And it was Alan Hynek that said, we need to stop doing this. We need to go and take a look at these witnesses, these contactees, and get their story and find out what it is, you know, through a scientific lens. And Hynek, who was the biggest skeptic of them all, you know, finally turned around, and he had a convergence, and he became one of the biggest emissaries of UFOs and, you know, and ufology. So he's a big name in the field. So yep. I love J. Allen Hynek.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, folks, I tell you, The Smurl Haunting When Ed and Lorraine Came to Town is available right now. We have a link in the description of this program. We're at the end of our program here, Maxim. Before we leave, do you have any last thoughts for our audience?
Yeah, just a couple of things. One, for the listeners, please support your local bookstores, libraries, podcasters, authors. Support them. They need your support. They need your money. Corporate America does not. We do. So please consider that. My website is www.maximfurich.com, and you could check it out. And if you want an autographed copy of any of my books, we can do that. You could contact me through there. And Tim, I want to congratulate you on what is it, 20 years?
It'll be 20 years January 1st, yep.
Amazing, amazing. I mean, that, my friend, is a milestone, and that is a reason for celebration. So thank you for all your good work and for what you're doing. It's just you're onto something good, and you're doing a great service for the realm of the paranormal. So thank you so much for what you're doing.
Well, I can't do 20 years without great guests. So thank you, Max. I appreciate having you on the program today.
Very good. Okay, thanks, Tim.
Thank you. Folks, that'll do it for this week. Want to thank you so much for continuing to tune in and listen and watch us here on the program. And again, if you enjoyed the program, remember to like and subscribe if you're watching the video. And also remember to give us a 5-star review if you enjoyed listening to the program today. Remember to tell a friend or a family member as well if you enjoyed the program. If you're listening to the program, you're not watching the program, again, on YouTube, it's the Original Darkness Radio, or just simply go to darknessradioshow.com, and you can find everything at that website. You can watch and listen all at one. It's a one-stop shop, really. Again, darknessradioshow.com. Just click on the show that you want to watch or listen to. It's all right there, darknessradioshow.com. All right. What else? Let's see. Oh, yes. Jessica Freeberg has her New Year's trip coming up to the Palmer House Hotel. You can get your tickets by simply clicking on the link to Jess's trip in the description of this program. We have the link right there. So you'll see the link to jessicafreeberg.com and the link for the tickets. Click on. There's just a few tickets remaining. I'll be up there as well with her. We're going to ghost hunt that weekend up there at the Palmer House. There's also some art workshops there, some writing workshops that'll go on that weekend at the haunted Palmer House Hotel. Make sure that you click on. That is the second weekend, I believe, in January, but it's a New Year's trip, so join us up there as well. We're going to have a great time that weekend. All right, the weekend is upon us. Again, we got dumped on with snow. You have some disabled and elderly people that need your help to clear that snow. They also need some help with some other things, maybe shopping and whatever else this weekend. Be a light in someone's darkness this weekend, folks. Help out someone disabled or elderly in your community. A message from your friends here at Darkness Radio. Be a light in someone's darkness this weekend. We'd appreciate it. That'll do it for this week. For Jessica Freeberg, for Mally Fox, for Travis Thorpe, I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Thank you so much for continuing to watch and listen to the best in paranormal podcasting. This has been Darkness Radio.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook, you know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap. Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No